Hello, this is Todd Starnes. I have the privilege of being the lead pastor at Odessa First Assembly, and this is our podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoy this message, and I pray the Holy Spirit ministers to you. Remember, Scripture tells us in Philippians 2:13, "For it is He that works in us to will and to act according to His good purpose." And I pray that that work begins in you today. So Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and 23. Hopefully you'd be close to having this memorized by now. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And of course, this morning we're talking about gentleness. And so kind of to springboard into that, I want us to look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. And it says this: "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And we know some of that. I think we're probably real familiar with that passage and that portion of Scripture. It's a great promise. And where it says, "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone," that word gentleness is such a diverse word and a powerful word. And so you'll see it through the New Testament interpreted in different ways. You'll see meekness, you'll see reasonableness, and you'll see gentleness. And all of them have the same root, and they really point to the same meaning. But there, you know, there's something I've discovered about people. I don't know your perception of people, and maybe this comes from all my years at camp or just, you know, learning about leadership and dealing with leadership. But there's something I've discovered is that there are two things that will change the attitude of a person. One is a set of keys, and the other is a clipboard. Some of you know what I mean by that. You give somebody some keys or a clipboard and put them in charge, and there's oftentimes it goes to somebody's head. It could be whistles and bullhorns. It could be golf carts. You give somebody a golf cart, man, they're the supervisor, right? You know? And you kind of see that go to people's head. It could be a promotion. It could be authority given. But what it comes down to is really a feeling of power, of authority. I mean, we, as humans, we feel the need to make sure that people know that we are in charge. How many times have I heard somebody say, "Well, I'm the boss. I'm in charge." But usually when you have to make that declaration, you've already lost all influence. Right? You know, the one that calls the shots, the big dog. How many disasters, hurt feelings, misunderstandings has happened because they wanted people, somebody wanted everybody to know that they were the new sheriff in town. But crisis can be averted when gentleness is evident. I mean, some of the scriptures we looked at, and we looked at a couple of these last week, but I just want to briefly look at them again, and I'm going to break down some things, and we're even going to come back to them again just in a few moments. But Proverbs 15:1, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stirs up anger." Proverbs 15:4, "A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit." Ephesians 4:2, look at this: "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love." Look at that, all humility, all gentleness. And so let's kind of get on the same page. Is that picture the next thing? Is it the Princess Bride picture? Is that, yeah? We use the word gentleness, and I think anybody, no Princess Bride fans? I heard recently they're going to remake that. No. Please don't ruin a good movie. But anyway, you know, this word doesn't mean what you think it means. And I really think gentleness, we misunderstand what that word means. And so gentleness describes a temperament that is seasoned. I mean, when you look at all these words, reasonableness, meekness, and gentleness, it's seasoned. It means seasoned and mature. It means actually having an emotional maturity. It means an attitude that is fitting to the occasion. It's being level-headed and tempered in your responses. Gentleness, literally what it means in the biblical definition is gentleness is strength under control. You may have wit, intellect, power, position, but is it under control? Is it mature? Is it tempered? You may have someone dead to rights, but how you respond to them says everything if you have the working of the Holy Spirit of gentleness in your life, the surrender that you've given Jesus. And so with that description, let's look at those three verses again. 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath. You may have the authority, you may have the power, you may have the position, but a gentle answer turns away wrath. But a harsh word, that knee-jerk reaction when somebody sets you off, what does it do? Proverbs 15:4, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. The definition of what it's talking about here, perverseness, is showing a deliberate, obstinate desire to behave a way that is unreasonable, unacceptable, and often in spite of the consequence. I mean, does that sound like the complete opposite of gentleness, meekness, and reasonableness? A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but if it has perverseness, if it is the exact opposite of what it means to be gentle, a philosophy of what we adopted when coming to discipline our children, our kids, as they were growing up, was that we wanted to aim their will. Sometimes we need to redirect their will, but the last thing we ever want to do is break their spirit. So when you are in the cooker, when something blindsides you, when the stress is on you, are you responding in a tempered way? Are you responding in a place of maturity? Are you not overreacting? Are you being fair and level-headed? Do you have the strength and the authority, but yet your response is under control? Not just a measure, but as Ephesians 4:2 says, all gentleness. You're responding with maturity. You're not overreacting. You're being fair, level-headed. You have the strength, the authority, but your response is under control. I got a couple of sayings, and if you're not a note taker, you might want to write these down. I think they might be on the notes, but one is this: you don't have to be weak to be meek. And I think that's the way we perceive it sometimes. If I'm meek, if I'm humble, if I'm gentle, then I'm weak. And that is the exact opposite meaning of what gentleness is. Gentleness is power, strength under control. You don't have to be weak to be meek. You don't have to be jelly to be gentle. I mean, being a gentle giant is okay. You can come across without coming across cross. I'm going to say that a little slower. You can come across without coming across cross. So number one is this: how do we do that? How do we see this fruit come to bear in our life? Number one, trust God with the outcome. Trust God with the outcome. I think so many times we react because we think we've got to control this thing. We've got to control how it goes. We have to control the direction that it's going. And I'm going to tell you, there's not a person in this room that has that power or has that authority. We've got to give the results to God. We've got to trust God with the outcome. I want you to look at it with me in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. 1 Peter 3, 15 and 16. It says this: but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when, listen, not if, but when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. You know, this kind of goes along with, you're probably more familiar with the scripture that says that the vengeance belongs to the Lord, right? It doesn't belong to us, it belongs to God. We've got to trust God with the outcome. And when somebody wrongs us or steps on our toes or we get that temptation to be offended and they offend us, our response needs to be out of gentleness. This is a whole lot better than what you're looking at me right now, I think. You can be completely right, but completely wrong. In your reaction, in your stance, in your position, in your words. Proverbs 24:19, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of the wicked. And I think that's what gets us sometimes, is because, you know, most of us, in some way, we hate injustice and we are justice people. But you have to allow the fruit of the spirit of gentleness, that character, to bear in your life, knowing that regardless of what's happening right now and whatever situation you may be in, the results depend on God. If you respond and react according to what the Bible teaches us, don't... I think it's the New Living, if I'm not mistaken, but fret not yourself because of evildoers, be not envious of their wicked. Don't get fighting mad at evil people, is one way that the scripture says that. Don't get fighting mad at evil people. Listen, I don't know if you know this. One thing is this, did you know that, this term has been around a long time, but hurting people hurt people. When somebody is hurting inside, they tend to lash out. They begin to damage the relationships around them. And there's also a saying that you've heard me say many times, is that be kinder than necessary, because you never know someone else's battle. Did you know that evil people, every sermon, I like to give you that bombshell that just blows your mind. You know, like last week I talked about how that apple trees, you know, produce apples. And so this week's bombshell, mind-blowing statement is this, is that sinners sin. Evil people act evil. Do you hear me? So we should not be surprised, all right? We should not be surprised when somebody acts in the nature that controls them. So they may be acting, the sinful nature is obvious, or they're responding in a way where the fruit of the Spirit is being shown. Right? Unbelievers, they act like unbelievers. But see, 1 Corinthians 13:1 tells us, I know that you know this verse, but if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. So number one, live life knowing and trusting that God has got your back. Trust God for the outcome. Because you give somebody grace, because you respond with gentleness, even though they may still act spitefully towards you, doesn't mean they're going to get away with it. You leave that to God. The way that you're going to shine your light, the way that people are going to see that you're different than the world system, is that you respond in a different way than what the world would. Is this all right? This is good. I told y'all I was ready for this one. Trust God with the outcome. Number two is this. The gentle person makes decisions on clear thinking. The gentle person makes decisions on clear thinking. I'm going to have to describe a little bit more what I'm talking about here. Imagine you're at war. Imagine you're in a war, and matter of fact, you're the general. You're the general of your army, and you know, if you are a general, I mean, you understand that takes some strategic thinking and how that you're going to move your army forward to win the battle, right? And so you have a meeting with your commanders. Are you just going to, you're not going to just shoot from the hip. You're just not going to, you know, just kind of go spontaneously. You're going to have a well thought out battle plan. And you want to give some last words, right? You've got the plan in action and you want to give some last words. What will those words be? And I say that to say this, you know, Paul, he had a spiritual son by the name of Timothy. It was kind of the same spiritual sense that Paul, he wrote to Timothy two letters, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, that was at the end of his life, that was kind of those things that I think we could really take to heart. Some of the most famous words that Paul wrote in those letters you'll find in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, and he says this, fight the good fight of faith. I mean, don't we like that? Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight. But see, right above that in verse 11, we see a description of Paul saying how to fight the good fight. I mean, his words ring true even for us today. And if you look in verse 11, he says this, but as for you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue what? What are we to pursue? Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and what? Gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. How do you fight the good fight of faith? You fight it with gentleness. And you can really partner that with another scripture, that we do not war against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers and spirits in the air and, you know, in that realm, as it tells us in Ephesians. And so when we are interacting with other people, if we want people to see the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our life, it's just not a message in tongues and interpretation. It's just not a prophetic words. But I'm going to tell you, it is with a spirit of gentleness. And it's words that you fought out, that you're just not reacting to. Now, I'll tell you, I believe that when you're in that moment, so many times what keeps us from sharing our faith and witnessing is we don't know what we're going to say. And I would tell you to process that. Think about it. Write down your testimony. There's all kinds of ways that you can do that. But I'm going to tell you something else. If you are keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:25, if you're going to walk by the Spirit, then keep in step with the Spirit. So if you're in the step of the Spirit, what's happening is the fruit of the Holy Spirit is popping out, whatever, of your life. It's being seen. God's going to give you the words in the moment that you need. You got to depend on how the Holy Spirit's going to do that. But I'm going to tell you something else. How do we have clear thinking? So I hope some of you are taking notes right now. Tighten the lid with a better release valve. You know what I mean by that? Have you ever heard the term flipping the lid? You know what happens when somebody loses control, fit of rage, anger? How do we describe that sometimes? They flip their lid, right? I'm going to tell you that if you have the spirit, if you have that characteristic of gentleness by the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, that you are going to tighten the lid with a better release valve. What I mean by better release valve? Your release valve should be Jesus. If you're giving it all to Him, if you're surrendering it all to Him, is anybody hearing me this morning? You see, anger can be a show of force, but gentleness is strength under control. Using anger as a show of force usually means we're out of control anyway. Anger is used to end the discussion, and reasonableness seeks truth. Anger is used to control the narrative, but meekness gives control to God. A spiritually meek person, that person that's gentle, with that has that reasonableness, is not self-willed. They're not continually concerned with their own ways, ideas, wishes. They're willing to put themselves in second place and submit themselves to achieve the good of others. Meekness, so, is the exact opposite of self-will, self-interest, and self-assertiveness. And that reminds me of a verse. I've used it a couple of weeks ago, but I want to say it again this morning. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. You may ask yourself, how can I act that way? How can I respond this way? It's because of that promise, that truth right there. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. That means you are given the results over to God. You're just going to walk by faith in the truth of His Word and know that God's going to bring it out in the end, who loved me and gave Himself for me. We as, I think as American Christians, we tend to see our spiritual walk and our spiritual life through the eyes of the way that our government system works, through the eyes of the way that our hierarchy and a job may work. But that's not how the kingdom works. The kingdom is a theocracy. God's got control of this thing. We're all in submission to Him. It takes more than inner strength to be gentle than it does to be abrasive. It's easy to fly off the handle when things don't go our way. What's more difficult is keeping our emotions in check and staying calm even in the most difficult situations. I want to read a few more verses that kind of go along with some that we've read this morning. But Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 9. Be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the heart of fools. I want to read Proverbs 51. That's the one that says, you know, a soft answer turns away wrath. But I want to read it from the New Living. It says this: a gentle answer not just doesn't turn away, but deflects. Have you ever felt like you're the object of somebody's wrath or anger? You want to put a shield up? Then respond with gentleness. You know, there was a study done. I saw it a long time ago when we were doing school assemblies and stuff, and I just happened to see something this week again and about bullying. And I'm going to tell you, bullying is just not an elementary school thing or a junior high thing or a high school thing. We really deal with bullies all of our life in some fashion or form. And so this guy has this, I don't know, maybe you've seen this, but this guy has this young man on the platform, and, you know, it's kind of insult for insult. They're just kind of going at each other. And then he turns the tables, and he says, I bet you I can get her to stop. And so she gives an insult, and he gives a compliment. And she gives an insult, and he gives a compliment. And the longer it goes, the more she gets a loss for words. And then she starts like, yeah, well, thank you. And she starts thanking him for what he's saying. I want to tell you, this is a spiritual principle that God empowers. Yes, it may take some time to sow that seed, but if we give the soft answer, it will turn away wrath. Proverbs 22:24, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man. And number three is this. So we've got the results. We got to trust God. We got to trust God how it's all going to end up. That's not on us. That's on Him. Number two is that, be clear in our thinking. Do not let the circumstance get to you the place where you can't think straight. And the Holy Spirit will help you do that. The Holy Spirit will do a work in you to help you keep the path. Number three is this. Take up Jesus on His offer. Take up Jesus on His offer. Do you know what Jesus' offer is to you? It's found in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. And I know you know this passage, but look what it says. Come to me. come to me. And that really, that invitation, we've got to understand, that's not for me. Sometimes we make that the last resort, but it should never be the last resort. When something happens, and maybe it's the feelings getting hurt, maybe, I mean, it's just a stressful, anxiety, dark moment, maybe it's stress, maybe whatever that struggle, that storm may be, those three words, come to me. You see, if we're really surrendered, if we're really just got it all laid down on the altar and say, okay, God, I mean, that's, we know the truth in that. Come to me. I'm going to tell you, you are not going to find your answer anywhere else. Come to me, all who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Look what he says. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And look what he declares. I am gentle. You know, Scripture is full of the I am statements of Jesus. It's full of them. And I think we miss this one. I think, matter of fact, most of us have missed this one. I mean, here Jesus is making another declaration. I am gentle. And so if that is a lacking in your life and you are surrounded, I mean, whether it be kids or grandkids or coworkers or those that surround you, and there are damaged relationships, then maybe we need to come to Jesus and learn his gentleness. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. I mean, there's so many times that maybe in life we get in this battle, this war, this angst that we feel on the inside of us. And the only way that we're ever going to find rest and for that storm to calm in our life is to come to him, give it all to him, and say, God, I'm tired of carrying my own yoke. I'm tired of carrying my own weight. Would you? Because I think the beautiful thing when he says, take my yoke upon you. I mean, I don't want to be mistaken here, and I don't want to bring any confusion. But it's not saying the opposite of take up your cross daily and walk. It's not an opposite thing, because, I mean, to follow Christ and to walk out what he asks of us, I mean, it's sometimes that great sacrifice, but it's worth it. But I want you to know this, that it's kind of like the footprints in the sand poem, that when we take his yoke upon us, when it gets difficult, do you know who bears the load? The one who owns the yoke. Did you hear me? I said, the one who owns the yoke bears the weight. And you don't have to carry that weight anymore. Why? Because he's taken it and he's responsible for it. Man. A gentle person doesn't stir up drama. Matter of fact, if somebody's coming, I don't know who is, but somebody would come up to the platform for the piano or whatever. A gentle person doesn't stir up drama, doesn't point out the mistakes of others, doesn't try to compete with their neighbors. A gentle person is considerate of the needs of others, makes allowances for their mistakes, and gives them benefit of the doubt. You know, I know they're out there greeting, but I don't know if you saw the video, whatever I did yesterday, and I think it'd be okay that I share this, because I think it's kind of funny, but you know, after I got done, I saw an angry face. I was like, well, who did that? Kind of bowed up, and I clicked it, and it was Dean. And I was like, I'm about to crawl. What is he doing an angry face on our? But you know what you have to do? You have to just take a breath and say, you know what? I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. And it was just an accidentally. I mean, how many? I just talked about this too. I mean, there's those icons sometimes are so close together, you know. And it, okay, maybe I'm just getting left field, but gives allowances, gives them the benefit of the doubt. Gives them the benefit of the doubt. A gentle person doesn't have to have the last word. Blinders on right now. A gentle person doesn't have to be afraid to admit they're wrong. A gentle person doesn't have to let just anything come out of their mouth. They can choose their words carefully. How about let's let our gentleness be evident to all? When we're in that pressure cooker and we respond to life differently, I'm going to tell you something. It gives power. It gives anointing. It gives authority. It gives effectiveness to the witness that you've been given, because people see it. They're like, how can they be in the middle of that situation, yet they're so reasonable, gentle, meek of heart? And that's how we fight the fight of good faith.
I hope and pray that this message ministered to you today. Remember, if you would like to see what's going on or want more information about us, just go to OdessaFirstAssembly.com. And of course, you can find us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. God bless you.